afternoon time. We had a great time there. We're just about going back into evening time, and then John, who was one of the main organizers, comes over and goes, do you want someone for tomorrow morning? I was like, well, who is it? And then he goes, oh, you can have the Viking. We were like, oh, we love Vikings, so we'll take him. And so then I thought, oh, you know, maybe it'll happen or maybe it won't type of thing. And then I was going out to bring Nikki to the car just to come back in for the last part of it. And Carl comes running after me, goes, I want to come to your church. So I was like, it has to happen. So it did, and we were super blessed and super excited. So he is here this morning, and we're blessed to have him. So give him a round of applause as he comes.
You come here to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with your freedom? Will you fight? Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. Braveheart, come on, do you know Braveheart? In dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all your days for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take, you know it, our freedom? Okay. Good morning. I'm the Viking. I come in peace. Where's Derek? My ride. All the way at the way back. Everybody wave at Derek. Look, this is Derek, my ride here. Look very carefully. Just stand up for a second. Look at his wee. Isn't this beautiful hair color here? Look at this. Isn't this the best color ever? I also call him my brother from another mother. Can you say that in the American accent? I hope so. Let me grab one of these and one of these. I'll just show you. You're my final stop of my tour. So I'm going to direct you to the book table at the back. Just to show you, I've got just a few resources left, so this is it. So if you pick these up, you're going to be getting the final Viking resources in Ireland. This is, first of all, a wee book, Changing of the Guard, The Rising of Generation Extreme. How many of you know that we are a generation for Jesus Christ? We are a passionate generation for Jesus. Every single one of you, pick up this book, you're going to learn your purpose. You're going to find that the X was the ancient X was the ancient symbol for Jesus Christ himself, because in the he called it an acrostic in the Greek. It was a fish symbol that the early disciples used in the book of Acts to distinguish who they were from the incredible anti-Christian culture that surrounded them. So they would have a little fish design, and in the middle of it would be these Greek letters, and the X was the symbol for Jesus. So I believe that we are approaching the final days, and we are a final generation that's arising in power and purpose in the earth. If you purchase this book, they're 10 quid, you will learn more of who you are in Christ, who you are called to be, and what you can accomplish if you step out in the Spirit by faith. So I encourage you, I've only got 10 left, so pick one up at the back. And who here can, let me see, I got to pick on somebody here. Okay, who can stand up and boldly give us John 3:16? Go.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
All right, give him a hand. He gets one of them right there. It's very good. You do know your scriptures. And you're sitting in a very good spot, because people in the front row, you get the spit of the speaker. So could be anointed. It might probably not, but you never know. Then I just have, this is a flash drive. So we put on here 18 messages that I've preached all over the world on themes of revival and prayer and the kingdom of God and the prophetic and healing. So there's 18. You can actually take the Viking with you if you want into your car. You just slip this in your car or bring it home to your computer and burn CDs. And so these are at the back as well. They're 15 quid or whatever you got. If you got 2 quid, you want one, pick one up. All right, so those are at the back. And away we go. Finally, I have a free gift for you. So I've written a number of books, and I have a free one now. It's called Encountering God in His Living Word, How to Study the Word of God, and How to Listen to the God of the Word. How many of you know you need a balance of both in your life? You need to be in the Word, studying the Word, finding out what it really says, but also you need to be in it so you can receive fresh words from the Word. And this is a very simple book. It'll teach you some very cool principles, and it even has some historical examples, and I picked one from Scotland, from this amazing Scottish guy that lived in the 1600s and heard from God in the Word. And so it's a beautiful little book, and also if you don't mind getting an e-letter from us, we'll send you once a month a little note with an update on my healing process and our ministry, and also a free devotional is in there each month. So if you don't mind, I promise I won't bombard your inbox too badly. Once a month is all you'll get from the Viking. But if you're game for that, you just put your email, first and last name, hit sign up, and then we'll get you on the list. Just go ahead and pass that around, and it would be an honor to send you that. I'll mail that ebook to you hopefully tomorrow. Well, I'm going to spend a few minutes just sharing the Word. I want to just call this message very, very simply, be filled. You know, this morning we sang about this living water, didn't we? Or the promise of the Holy Spirit. And that was the very promise of the Father from time immemorial, from all the way back. He promised Messiah was coming. There was one coming who would actually not bring natural water, but bring living water. He was called the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. So we're just going to look at a few passages in the book of Acts today, just chapters 1 through 4. And I'll share a few stories along the way. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 1. We'll just start there. So Acts chapter 1. You'll notice here, this is Acts chapter 1 is really cool because it's the resurrected Jesus. It's the Jesus who's now come back from the dead. He became our sin bearer, didn't he? He bore our sins upon his own body on the tree. He bore your and I's sin forever. He took it upon himself to carry those sins to the cross. And as he did so, he hung upon that cross, but he had also in mind to take death captive. Death is not your friend, it is your enemy. And Jesus Christ, when he took that cross for you, also took death captive, because how could you kill the Son of God? You can't kill the divine. He had to lay down his life. He freely laid it down for you and I. As he did so, and he died in that moment, he took death captive. He goes down into the grave. He goes into the regions of hell. He stays there. On the third day, he comes back after having liberated the regions of hell, and he comes back to life forever. He is now resurrected, and he's ready to pour out the promise of the Father. Was that a good intro? You had to turn me down, didn't you, mate? Yes. When the Viking comes, it's like normally, you know, Pastor Derek, so forth, you got the level about 7 or 8. Nice, soft, Northern Ireland sort of preaching style. You just sort of, you got to bring me up a wee bit now. So, you know, in Ireland here, you don't want to talk too loud, sir, because you're going to scare people off. You're going to waken the dead. So you can't preach too loud. Anyway, I'm a bit louder than normal people. So, it's, you know, yeah, 1 or 2 levels. Great. Okay, you got it? Good. So the promise of the Father. So look at this. So Acts 1 and verse 4, gathering them together, he, this is Jesus, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which you have heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized, or I'll use the word filled. Just remember the word filled, the simple message, be filled. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Then they kind of question him, Lord, you know, when are you coming to restore your kingdom and so forth? He says, never mind that. And then verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. This is the commissioning. This is the moment where he's going to send forth power. Now, that word for power, do y'all know what that root word is in the original? What is it? Dynamite. Let me give you some other words that you can define the word power with, okay? Dynamic. The manifestation of miracles. How about this one? Magnitude. You know, like when there's an earthquake and the earth shakes and they tell you how much of a shake was it? It was the magnitude of the earthquake. That is wrapped up in that word. The magnitude, the shaking. Amplification, that's the booming voice of the Viking. Abundance, great power, strength, and virtue. All of that is defined in that word, you shall receive it. So that is actually what you have within you. The church in Ireland is a little bit like the church in America. I joke a little bit, but we're basically a sleeping giant. We don't understand what we've been given. We don't understand. We can't grasp yet what supernatural abundance is right in here. And so I kind of liken it like the Bourne identity. Anybody seen? Come on, Matt Damon, Jason Bourne. Matt Damon's my age, praise God. He looks a little bit finer than I do, I know. He's an actor and everything. The Bourne identity. So just check this out, right? The first film of the whole, by the way, there's a new one coming out this summer. I should be an advertisement for the Bourne, you know, the whole Bourne company. And the first film, he sort of comes to on this ship, and he has no idea how he got there or who he is. But he begins to discover, actually, there's way more inside of him than he could ever imagine. So he's on the ship, and he's staring at the mirror, and all of a sudden, he's speaking French, and then he's speaking German, and then he's speaking Italian. The dude was speaking in tongues. Come on, somebody. He didn't even know he had it. Speaking in tongues in the mirror. Then he's off. He lands in the ship and everything, and he goes, and all of a sudden, he dismantles this gun, and he realizes so he's got all these powers, you know, and then he goes into the bank, and what has he got in his back? Anybody remember what's tucked away in his back? Come on, Bourne identity people. What was in his back when they found him? You're talking way too fast, mate. I kind of saw the flipboard you're saying. What was that? Memory stick? Yeah. So there's a wee memory stick. So they hit the button, and it's actually, it comes up this red thing on the wall. It's a bank account. He's got a Swiss numbered bank account in him. He's got unlimited resources inside of him. Are you getting this? He goes to the bank. He doesn't even know who he is. He gets in past the front gate. He goes, they give him this box. This box is full of money and passports and a gun and everything he needs. All the resources of the kingdom of God are within the guy, and he doesn't even know it. He has to discover who he is, the Bourne identity. That's what you and I are like. When we first come to Christ, you get this. You get this dunamis. You might not say, well, I don't know about that. Have I really received the Holy Spirit? Yeah, if you've said yes to Jesus, you've already got this inside of you. Do you know what this can do? You got to be filled and filled and filled again. So the power of God comes. Then in Acts chapter 2, we find this incredible moment. We call this the day of Pentecost, which I believe in the high church is being celebrated very soon in the month of May, isn't it? So the day of Pentecost, when it had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all, everybody look in your, what does it say? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So this is the moment of the day of Pentecost. They get filled with the Spirit. God introduces a brand new gift just for his, you know, the church that was being birthed here. It's the gift of tongues. It actually came with a sister gift, which we don't read about here, but the interpretation of tongues came with it. So if you look in your, if you know your gifts of the Holy Spirit and 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 gifts listed, okay? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith. Let's see if we can get them all. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, discerning of spirits, working of miracles, healings, prophecy, and then there's 2 final ones, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Of the list of 9 I just gave you, anybody take a guess at how many of those have always been active? The answer is 7. 7 of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit have always been active in the kingdom of God prior to the cross. So you can actually study out, if you want, all 7 of the prior gifts. They were all in motion by the Holy Spirit for thousands of years. So don't tell me the gifts aren't for today. They've always been since the time began, and they always will be until the second coming of Christ. The 2 that were introduced here are tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Beautiful. By the way, if you don't speak in tongues, you can. You can start today. It's an awesome gift. I was 20 years old, just recently saved at the time. I was in Hollywood, California, because I had small goals. I wanted to be a film director, and I wanted to be like Steven Spielberg. Very, very, very humble beginnings, you know. I thought Hollywood was too big for Spielberg and myself, so I would just move on in, and he would just move on out. Never happened. But anyway, I'm sitting reading my Bible one night at this restaurant, and this waitress comes up to me, and she says, "Oh, I see you're reading your Bible. You're a Christian." Yep. She was really, okay, I don't know the word here. Can I say hot? Men, do you understand this word? She was hot. So I'm just thinking inside, I just want your phone number. So she says to me, "Hey, there's a special meeting at my church on Sunday night. Would you like to come?" I'm like, "Yeah. Could I get your phone number?" "Sure." She writes down her first name and her phone number. I'm like, "Yes." So in I go. I have no idea where I'm going. She says to me, I said, "What's the meeting about?" She says, "Well, we're having two prophets come." And I said, "Really?" And I kind of smiled. And deep inside, I'm saying to myself, "What in the flip is she talking about?" Two prophets. What does that mean? I'm thinking to myself, that's not P-R-O-F-I-T. Look, I was raised Lutheran, weird, you know, sect of the American church, very evangelical. You know, I said it yesterday, you know, we worship the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. That was our worship. So I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit or prophet. She said, "Yeah, prophet." I'm thinking Isaiah, Jeremiah, white hair, robe, staff. Okay, this is going to be really interesting. I'm going. I got your phone number. I'm going. So I turn up at this church. I walk in. It turns out to be a church called The Vineyard, and it's pastored by a fellow named John Wimber. It's the original Vineyard church that he started back in the 70s. So I walk in, and there's these two guys, John Paul Jackson and Bob Jones, and they are prophets, and they are calling people out all night, and they're giving them words for their life. And I had never seen this, but I felt something beautiful upon me the entire evening, almost like a warm blanket. And one of the guys says, "You know, if you've been experiencing this, you need to come up here and get prayer tonight and receive the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Praise God." I'm like, I'm going, "Well, I don't know. So she goes up, so I'm going up. The hot bird is going up. I'm going to follow her. So I'm following the flock of hot birds. You know, up they go. I'm like, "All right, got my hot bird here, and I'm here. I'm going to get the Holy Spirit. I have no idea what this is, but I want it." So the guy starts playing his guitar. He says, "You can receive the gift of tongues as easily by singing as by speaking." So I'm like, "Great." So I open my mouth, and all of a sudden, just like Jesus said would come, this bubbling thing comes up. Like, I describe the Holy Spirit a little bit like he's an alien inside of you. Come on, you ever seen the movie Aliens? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? It's a little disgusting to think of it, but you know that picture of the alien coming out? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is, but in a godly, holy, beautiful, loving sense. He's not from this earth. He's from another planet, right? He's inside of you. Okay, I'll move on. So the Holy Spirit bubbles up. The alien comes in me, whatever. I get the Holy Spirit. I start singing in tongues. The people behind me have their hands on me. They start to interpret my song, and I'm singing psalms of praise that I couldn't remember with my mind memorizing, but they're all coming out of me. Whole psalms were coming out of me in some foreign tongue. And I stumbled out of that building full of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Whatever happened to the hot bird? I have no idea. I never saw her again." Maybe she was an angel. But, you know, a few years later, I met my own hot bird, and that one I married. Praise God. So there you go. I have my own. You can look me up on Facebook. You see my hot bird there, Sarah Elizabeth. 19 years married. Mm-mm-mm. I'm sorry. I've been away from my wife for 12 days. I'm very sorry. Focus, Carl. Back to the message. Be filled. Okay. Got three kids. They send their love to you. Okay, be filled. So what happens? They're filled with the Spirit. They speak with other tongues. They immediately go out into the world, and The interpretation is that all these nations are gathered together at this moment. It was God's supernatural fireworks. He gathered all these nations together so they could all be exposed at the same moment to the explosion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is where the supernatural is released forever. The Holy Spirit is now coming inside for the first time ever in the history of the world. We have been given the nature, the very person of God himself inside of you. You have today the very nature and person of the divine in you. The divine image is right there now. So now he starts to conform you to that. If you don't know Jesus today, get to know him today, because as you say yes to Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, his divinity comes to live inside of you. So you are now transformed. You're no longer like an Irish citizen. You're like now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You're transferred into a new kingdom that is eternal, and he is forever within you. That was my intro. Now, that was my intro. Acts chapter 2, all this stuff is going on. Let me just share with you how the early disciples built their work. Because this is a fairly new work here, and I want to just impart just some simple, foundational thoughts here from Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves. Here's what they were devoting themselves to. So mark these things. To the apostles' teaching. What is that? That is the word of God. They were devoting themselves around the word of God. You know, I preached in a First Presbyterian church in Bangor on Sunday night. We had a healing service for the Presbyterians. God loves Presbyterians. He healed a bunch of them on the spot. Yeah, I'm easy here. Here you go. You got that too. All right, free gift. Boy, you're just overflowing. Are you getting any of my spittle yet? Yeah, there you go. You just got a little bit. Did y'all see that? I'll work with Presbyterians. I work around the world with Catholics. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit falls on Catholics too. He falls everywhere. So you have to understand they're devoting themselves to, I'll just call it apostolic teaching or understanding what the truths are of our faith. So things like we just had Christmas a few months ago, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he came, he didn't have to come, but he came as divine stepped into our fallen humanity, didn't he? And he was not just a man on the earth, but he was 100% divine. So that's the incarnation. He came to live in us. Then when he released the Holy Spirit, he came to live in you forever. You are part of the incarnation. Things like the blood of Christ, where you learn what does the sacrifice of Jesus really mean, and what does it mean that his blood was shed for our sins, and his blood was shed so we could be whole again, and we could be healed of any sickness or disease. Yes, it's all in there. Things like the second coming, the fact that Jesus will come again, and he'll come again to transform the kingdoms of this world to the kingdoms of his Father forever. So devote yourselves to the truth. How about fellowship? You guys are good at that. Come on. You're Irish. Coffee? Anybody? Tea? I don't drink coffee. I drink tea, my dear. Sting. I'm an Englishman in New York. Okay. So you guys have got the fellowship down. I won't sing anymore. I know. The breaking of bread, sharing communion. Building your community around sharing the elements of communion and to prayer. And let me just add there, I'll add one word, fasting. Or as you'd say here, fasting. Fasting. So this message is called Be Filled. Let me share a little story with you. Build this work around prayer and fasting. Or how'd you say it here? That's a little too English. How'd you say fast?
Fasting. Fasting.
Okay. It is. I did get it right. Fasting. Right? That's actually very simple to talk. No, I don't. You just talk really fast, and then you talk. You end all your phrases up. So fasting, quite easy. Prayer and fasting. So be filled. So I'm a young Christian now. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. All that's happening, and I hear this teaching one night, and this guy says, "Do you know?" He says, "You can be filled with the Holy Spirit anytime, anywhere you want. All you have to do is pray through until He comes." Does that sound simple? Have you ever thought about that? Pray through until he comes. By the way, just give me a kick when the kids have to get out of there and we have to finish the service or this part of it, because at the end of this time, I'm going to pray for anybody here that wants prayer for this Holy Spirit stuff. So if you need a fresh filling today, you want to speak in tongues today, you want to be healed today, it's just come to the table. It's all here. So if that's possible, once we'll probably have to let the kids out first and stuff, the mayhem. Oh, good. We'll stick it another couple hours. Good. They're fine. The children's worker. When is the Viking going to be finished? So, you know, I like, okay, you can be filled anywhere, and all you have to do is pray through until he comes. So I said, right. So I said to my buddy, hey, Chad, let's, you know what we're going to do tonight? He goes, no. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray through. He goes, yeah. I said, you know what? I said, you know, we're going to pray through until he comes. He goes, yeah, till he comes. I'm like, do you have any idea what I'm talking about? No. So we didn't know what we were talking about, neither one of us. So we decided to combine this experience with fasting. Fasting. So we begin our fasting. And let me tell you, when you first start a fast, when you first start, it is cool. This is me starting my first fast, okay? This is me starting my first fast. So. I am fasting for God. I don't need food. Hamburger and chips. French fries. Chips, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't need you. Pepperoni pizza, be gone in Jesus' name. Salt and vinegar on the chips, nah, don't need it. So, I'm fasting for God. I'm super Christian. And for 4 hours, about 4 hours, you are super Christian when you're fasting for God. And about 4 hours into it, all of a sudden, shoo, ah, I'm a little hungry. Father, if I could just, you know, Lord, one chip, just, I don't need a whole bucket of them. Lord, I just want one chip. Please, Lord. Just one. Just a little salt and vinegar. Just a little. Look, Lord. I don't need a whole pizza. Just a little slice. I beg you. I'm hungry. It's not easy. So anyway, so we're fasting and you're hungry and you get through it. And then, so I decide I'm going to pray until he comes. So I get on my knees like this, and so I go on my knees and I bow. I figure this is the most holy position, so I go all the way down like this. And so my friend Chad, also, he's over here. He looks at me doing this holy position, and he's like, well, this has got to be God. So he goes all the way down like this. So we got two of us here. So I'm over here like this with my head to the ground. Come, Holy Spirit, I know you're going to come. I'm praying, I'm worshiping, and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm praying, and I get really quiet. I'm praying, and all of a sudden, about 10 minutes in, Chad gets really quiet over there, and so I'm down here like this, and all of a sudden, I look over, and in the most holy position, this is Chad. He's asleep in the holiest position on earth. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to stay with this. He's snoring over there, literally. I'm just praying. And I kept going for about 15 more minutes in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I kid you not, the power of the Holy Spirit, it was like a wind. It filled the room where the two of us were. And I was all alone. I was literally, I fell back in the power of God in the Spirit. And I was stuck to the floor for 15 minutes. I could not get off the floor for 15 minutes. And in the middle of all this, I got really excited for God. So I was really experiencing the waves of love and the Father pouring over me. So I go, whoo! And Chad goes, and he didn't get filled like that, like I did. He fell asleep. Isn't that interesting? So I'm full of the Spirit, completely out. I'm shouting, "Woo!" And I found out later that because we're in this upstairs flat and there's an apartment below us and there's this old Catholic couple that like are like 88 years old, nearing the grave or something, and they're down in their bed. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and they hear this shout, "Woo!" And they sit straight up in their bed and they're like, "What is going on upstairs?" They nearly called the police, but thankfully they didn't. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I tell you what. I launched out from that, and I realized the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is there for you. Now, let's look at what happens. They were just filled with the Spirit. They are devoting themselves to the Word, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship and prayer and fasting. Then out they go. They heal this lame beggar. They start preaching the kingdom. And how many of you know, if you're going to preach the kingdom, you're going to encounter some opposition? Because not everybody is going to be open to the gospel message. Like we heard this morning, the first four or five people, no thanks, I don't want to pray. But the ones that are open, they're going to pray with you, right? So this happens to Peter and John. They get arrested. Look with me for a second at Acts 4. We're going to finish the message in Acts 4 here. Look at Acts 4, verse 8. It says this. Then Peter... So what's just happened to him? So they bring him in. They put him in jail. So he's suffering in jail. Now, he's just been filled with the Holy Spirit a few days earlier. Was it enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost for him? Was it enough? Let's find out what happens. He's in jail. And verse 7, they question him. By what power? That's the same word. That's dunamis. Same word. You'll be filled with power. So they're wondering, where's this power coming from? They'd never seen divine power before. This guy's just been healed. They're questioning, by what power or in what name have you done this? What did we sing this morning? There's power in what name? Keep singing that song. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders, and he gives this speech. What does it say in the margin? Having just been filled. So he's standing there in persecution, and the Spirit is coming upon him, filling him again. So he gets filled as he's in the jail. He gets filled again with the power of the Spirit. Then having just been filled, then he speaks with boldness. You want to be filled with the power, filled with the Spirit, and filled again, so you too can be bold, so you too can step into the signs and wonders, so you can be Jason Bourne, but you know your identity in Christ. And you're not a $30 million malfunctioning weapon for God. You are a highly trained operative sent into this community with the weapons of your warfare, which are not carnal but are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have all the gifts of the Spirit available to you to heal the sick, bring the miracles, bring the signs, bring the wonders, shake this place and shake this nation for Jesus Christ. Come on. We're almost done. There's salvation in no one else, he says. For there is no other name under heaven. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So they threaten them and they release them. Back they go to the community. And you know what they do? They don't talk about their persecutors. They don't hold bitterness or unforgiveness toward other people. See? If somebody's hurt you, what do you do? What do you do when somebody's hurt you? You see? Well, it's our natural inclination to hold that offense, hold that against them. Say, well, they hurt me. Okay? You've been hurt. In the natural, that would be your reaction. Okay? I'm going to hold that offense. But in the kingdom of God, there is no holding offenses, because you and I were the great ones that broke all the rules and broke all the laws, and yet while you were in that state, Jesus Christ died for you. So you've experienced forgiveness, so now it's your position in the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive. To forgive them for the offense, and actually not stop there, but to pray for them. For blessing. That's the challenge of being filled with the Spirit. It isn't just about what I'm talking about with the power, with the signs and the wonders. It's also the power to choose to forgive somebody that's hurt you. And that's what they do. So they gather together for prayer in chapter 4. They pray about what's going on. They lift their voices to God with one accord. They start with praise. Oh, Lord, it is you who did make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. So they begin their prayer meeting with praise like we did today. That's a good way to go. And they pray this prayer out. They talk about the crucifixion of Jesus, but they go back to the sovereignty of God. Verse 28, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now here's their prayer. Remember what's happened. They've been persecuted. Here's their prayer. Now, O Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. And the word there for grant is empower. So what are they praying? They're praying, more power, Lord. Isn't that awesome? When you get together for your prayer meetings and you've been fasting, and I encourage you to fast, does anybody here know the most powerful, what I consider the most powerful fast in the Bible is actually a 24-hour fast? Do you want me to teach this just quick? 24 hours? Have you ever done this before? It's called the David fast, if you can remember this. It's very powerful. I hope and pray that some of you this morning will decide to do this even this week for your city here. It's a 24-hour fast. Here's how it works. David did this a lot. He wrote all the Psalms, you know? It's sundown to sundown. So just remember that. It's a powerful fast because you're saying no to your flesh for 3 full meals. So you start at sundown. So if it was tonight, you'd eat a nice tea time or lunch here. Then you'd begin your fast at 4 or 5 o'clock. So there'd be no food tonight. You can have coffee and tea. No problem with that. Drink lots of water. Then tomorrow morning when you wake up, no breakfast. Tomorrow midday, no lunch. Then in the evening at sundown or in the evening, you break it and you eat. Okay? Now, if you do that, pretty much you can eat whatever you want to eat the next day because you haven't been fasting long enough for your body to sort of, your stomach to shrink and all that, so you can do this. What I find is it's very difficult to push through, so that second day, about 2 or 3 o'clock, you're going to be very, very hungry, kind of like I was joking about. You got to press through until you break it at sundown. Now, what I find is that's a very powerful fast. You don't always have to fast for something. You can just fast to be devoted to Christ deeper. You can just fast to let him know how much you love him and how much you appreciate his sacrifice on the cross. Or you can fast for others. Try that. You got somebody with a need in this church? Start a secret fast for them. Don't tell them you're doing it, but you go on a David fast, 24 hours, and you see how God will bring breakthrough for that person. I find the next morning after I break the fast, when I have worship time with the Lord, he speaks to me very beautifully. You know, I actually keep a room in my house where I keep praise and worship playing 24 hours a day. Do any of you do that? Okay. Well, let me encourage a few of you. Good. All right. I saw a few hands go up. Let me tell you the power of that in this land. You call a place in your house, just commission it. Call it a holy place. Cover it in the blood of Jesus. Put on a CD and start worship and praise playing in that room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because you are in the land of the saints and scholars. You are in the land that very much was richly blessed for 700 years by men and women of purpose. Right here in Armagh. Is that how I say it? Armagh? Armagh? Armagh. Wherever I am. You are in a place right here in this town where monks would have had praise and worship going 24 hours a day. It's a very beautiful anointing. The ancient Celts called it thin places. You ever heard that term? You can have a thin place in your house. I have one at home. I have right now at this moment, I have praise and worship playing in my thin place. Why? Because like this, you can just go into that place. The ancient Celts called it a thin place because it was a place where heaven was touching earth. There was angelic activity. In fact, so much that Bangor was renamed Bangor. It was called something else, but they renamed it the Vale of the Angels. Anybody know why? That's what the name Bangor means, Vale of the Angels. Because the monks kept praising God 24 hours a day, and the angelic activity was so strong, people outside the community could see in the spirit these angels descending and ascending upon the monks' prayer area. So they renamed it the Vale of the Angels. That's pretty cool. You can have one here. Have a thin place. It's where the veil between heaven and earth is very thin. So when you want to hear from God, you have a room dedicated in your house, cover it in the blood of Jesus, keep the worship. When you want to hear from God, you go in there, you start worshiping, and it's thin. You'll hear his voice. He'll speak to you in his word. So here's their final prayer, and then we'll close. And we'll move some chairs and have a little fun. Does that sound good? I don't know. You own the building, right? So, you know, you don't have to go eat. We can start our fast now. Oh, I didn't get too many people. I'm hungry, Viking. I'm hungry. Lord, take note of their threats and empower that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal. Let healing of the sick, let the vibe be known. Let the vibe of the vibe be healing of the sick. Let the vibe of the vibe be signs and wonders taking place through the name of the holy servant, Jesus. And look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So there it is again. They're filled in Acts chapter 2. The promise of the Father comes. They get the dynamite. They get the dunamis. They're filled. Then they go out and they use that power up. They heal the sick. They preach the gospel. Peter gets filled again. Then he suffers a bit in the filling, comes back, and then the disciples get together and they get filled again. Be filled. Again, you don't have to be filled in the service. We're gonna pray for filling this morning, but you can be filled anytime, anywhere. I'm just going to close with one story. I was on a train ride from, I was in Paris, and I was coming to London via the Channel back in the day. And I was very, very, I just wanted more of God. I wanted a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. So I was so hungry for God on the train that I picked, outside of Paris, and I picked a train car that was empty. It was one of those train cars where there's like four seats, and then there's a door so you could sort of be private. So I took my big case, and I set it by the door, and I set my passport on top of it. Then I shut the windows of the train car, and I started to worship. And, you know, people are getting on the train. They hear the singing, so they don't bother me. So I'm left alone on the ride to the edge of France to take the tunnel, whatever. I forget how I did it, but I'm on my way, and I start to sing in tongues. And I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm just going to love on you. I'm just going to worship you in the Spirit. And if people have a problem with this, then they can just have a problem with this because I don't know their language and they don't know mine. So we're just going to worship. So I worship. And I began singing very loudly. And the people on this side of the train car started to bang on the wall, you know, and started to yell at me in French. I don't know their expletives, but I was getting them in French. So I just kept going. And then on the other side of the wall, those guys started to bang on the wall to get me to shut up. And so I prayed all the louder. And I had set my passport already on my case just in case the steward guy came to get my ticket. My ticket was there. Passport. So I am just worshiping, praising for 3 hours. Okay, and 3 hours into it, the power of the Holy Spirit fills my train car. And I got laid out on the four seats by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I started to shout again, "Woo!" And right on my first "Woo!", the door opens, and it's the guy for the tickets. And I kind of looked at him, you know, but I was stuck to the seats, and I couldn't move. So he just took one look at me quickly, looked at my ticket, yep, checked it, and he was gone. And you know what? I stumbled out of the train car. I came to London. I flew from there to here, to Belfast. And I just saw the Lord work in power. So I encourage you that the Holy Spirit is here. The promise of the Father is available for you. And I bless you guys today. We maybe have the worship. What do you want to do? Worship team? Okay. And can we just have a little What happens now usually? Do you release the kids or can we have a little prayer time or what? Okay. So are you guys game for some prayer time? So let me just teach you how I like to pray for you, if it's okay. When I pray for you, for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you, you will sense the power of the Spirit coming upon you. So I'm not actually going to lay hands on you today. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit fill you. And as he does, we'll have somebody behind you. Have you all seen this before where you actually rest? No? I call it resting in the Spirit. It's your will and the Holy Spirit working together, and you just kind of take a little nap, in a sense. You just rest. If you want to just rest, you can. There'll be someone behind you. If we're praying for you, you just chill out on the floor. You just lay down. And I've been ministering this way for many, many years. My first trip over was 23 years ago to Ireland, and I prayed in a Catholic youth camp for 60 youth, and the Spirit of God filled them, and they all rested on the floor under the power of God and shook under the power of God. My early experiences with this were just being filled, and it's almost like when you're filled with the Spirit, you're getting plugged into an electric socket. So you might shake, you might laugh, you might cry, you might worship, you might fall asleep and have a dream, I don't know. But you can just rest in the Lord's presence and be filled. So if you're game for that, what I'm going to do is we're going to go into a worship song, if that's cool. I'm going to have some of the guys move all these chairs off here to the side as we're worshiping, and we'll make this area in the front kind of a place of prayer and worship. I want to remind you again of the books and the flash drives at the back. I hope you'll encourage you to get those, and we're going to pray for you now. Let's all stand together, and let me pray over you first. It's a prayer of blessing for each of you.